So, our last review of the day is going to be for the film Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. This is the sequel to the remake, whatever you want to call it, of Ghostbusters Afterlife there. That came out, I think it was, 2019 that movie came out in? Oh, no, 2021, actually, that movie came out, Ghostbusters Afterlife. And what was your thoughts on that? I think we did do a review for it for the channel there. What were your thoughts on Ghostbusters Afterlife?
I think I don't know if I was there or not, but I think it said it was okay. I didn't feel like it was super amazing, but I did think it was okay. It was definitely, compared to Ghostbusters 2016, it was definitely a breath of fresh air, but it was definitely a different vibe. It was very similar in some ways, but also very different. And it focused more on the Spengler family. The mom was kind of basically like a deadbeat. Her kid is like, they're just like poor white trash almost. Wolf Finhart basically has no character in the movie, and Phoebe is the most amazing character ever. She's like a super genius. And then Paul Rudd's just there, and he does Paul Rudd stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Rudd is just Paul Rudd. He's just a cool guy.
Nobody doesn't like Paul Rudd. He's just a chill, cool dude.
Yeah, just cool guy. I remember Ghostbusters Afterlife, and I was like, well, you know, it's a different setting, which I like, and they do that, and I like the family aspect of it, and I thought the girl who's Phoebe in this, who's played by McKenna Grace there, I thought she did fine. I thought she was pretty good there. Clearly, she's kind of the lead in these, you know, reboot movies here. But then I thought at the end, I was like, oh, damn, y'all got to go back to the well again and bring the same creatures again and do the same things. And I was like, oh, okay. So in Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, as Dust said, so the Ghostbusters Afterlife, you had the Spengler family, they're back again. And they're doing the ghostbusting thing full time now. You know, now they've, instead of being in Oklahoma, they've moved back to New York. And you know, they're doing it kind of full time. They've rented out the firehouse there. You do have Finn Wolfhard and Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, McKenna Grace all come back there, and doing it. And you also have the returning favorites as well of the franchise, Ernie Hudson, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray. And you see kind of more of the expansion of the Ghostbusters lore, I guess you would say. Like Ernie Hudson has become this huge philanthropist, and he funds all this research into ghosts and ghostbusting and everything like that, which I kind of was wondering. I was like, you know, there hadn't been any new ghosts since 1989. Because it seems like they kind of implying that in the first one, if I remember correctly, in Afterlife.
Yeah. I always found that I always found that strange. I always found that like kind of a BS thing.
So unless I missed something in Afterlife, but it seemed like in Afterlife.
Yeah, in Afterlife, they say something along the lines like, oh, there hasn't been a ghost sighting in these many years. I'm like, oh, that's BS.
Yeah. So, like I said, the Spengler family's back, busting ghosts. You have the returning, you know, OGs from the franchise who also come back. And what's the new threat this time? Thank God it's not the same demon again. It's not Zool again. Thank God they got a different demon.
Zool and Gozer.
They do bring back some other class. Of course, Slimer, as you saw in the trailer, Slimer is back. But
it's like a cameo, really.
So at least that's there. And then there's also like, there's a library scene when they bring back the ghost from there, but that's just like a cameo thing. But the main villain here is this evil force who basically freezes people to death. You know, and you see that kind of this winter storm that this demon can unleash upon New York. And it's from this ancient artifact, an artifact that was once held by Camille Nanjiani, who comes there as a character named Nadim. Who sells it to Dan Aykroyd's character. Basically, I guess they just filmed Dan Aykroyd doing what he does daily, 9 to 5, I guess, now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just talking about weird occult shit and selling artifacts.
Yeah, he loves it. He's passionate about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, hey, Ghostbusting, I mean, you can tell he loves talking about it. I mean, it's one of his passions there. You see that they must join forces to stop this new threat, this new demon. And what was the demon's name again? It was...
Rakasha... Rux, I'm trying to look it up, but I can't.
I forgot exactly what the demon's name was. But yeah, so they're teaming up to fight this kind of new demon. Dusk, what were your thoughts on Ghostbusters Frozen Empire?
This movie's kind of a mess. On the one hand, there's some good elements here. I think the cast does the best they can with what they have. There's a lot of unnecessary elements, some interesting early elements. You know what? The very beginning of this movie actually had a lot of promise. The first 5 minutes, I was like, okay, this is we got something going on here. And the villain actually has a really cool and interesting backstory. Ghost Corps as a concept is something I've been like, yeah, definitely. I'm on that. That's good. But what falls apart, it kind of falls apart in the details where the family dynamic comes in and really lack of family dynamic, really. And how it all kind of comes together. And there's a particular character in this movie that I am pretty sure a lot of moments from this movie was cut. There's clearly a lot in the cutting room floor, but this movie just has way too many characters. And there's one character in particular that definitely things were cut down for their character that makes them almost superfluous for the most point. Or at least I wonder why they're even here, even though I know why they're there.
Mm. You're talking about the ghost character? Or you talking about... Okay. And I don't know who the actress playing that ghost is.
I looked up Emily Allen Lind.
Okay. Gotcha. So we get into a little bit of that stuff here because Phoebe has a connection to this ghost, as we see in the movie there. Mm-hmm. So this movie, is it better than Afterlife? I think it's about the same for me, about how I felt about it, about Afterlife, maybe a little bit less because it's still in the, you're going to the same environment. They're back in New York again. They're back hanging with the old Ghostbusters again. I get that you have to bring them in here, because you got to bring also the old fans as well. But you know, you're not really moving on too much from there. I mean, I them being in like more supportive roles, kind of like extended cameos, I kind of like, but them being super involved in the story, I'm not really.
I like what they did with Ray. The most interesting part of Ghostbusters 2 was seeing what the gang did after the fact, what they were doing on the side. I like that Ray had an occult shop. Yeah. I like that his character, the character of Ray has always been I'm fascinated by the occult, because Dan Aykroyd has always been fascinated by the occult, and you see that bleed into his passion in those movies, and that's where they used it to settle it. Except, you know, Reichman was able to focus it into a direction. He had worked in comedy with Bill Murray and Harold Ramis, and so they had this great energy in them. And that was the lightning. And Ernie Hudson had great combative energy as well to get back with them. And it was just lightning in a bottle. Yeah. That's really what it was. It's just three guys who worked well together. Ernie Hudson, who came in, that added a fourth edition in that really cemented it. And a director who knew how to take the creative energy of all these people and make it work on a script. Especially if you hear the stories of what Ghostbusters were trying to be. They were like Wizards in Time and stuff. It's like, yeah, we just don't have the budget for that.
Yeah. Like you said, this 1984 Ghostbusters, lightning in a bottle type thing. It was, you know, I remember, I think it was Red Letter Media who did a review of Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
And they said they could have been anything. They could have been plumbers. They could have been, you know, electricians. They could have been, you know, anything. And it would have worked because you had these four guys. And they all, you know, had such great chemistry, and they all had kind of prior knowledge to each other, right? Because they worked on SNL together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they could have been doing anything. It just kind of wouldn't work. And then them trying to make a whole franchise out of it and build it. And it's just like, I mean, even they couldn't even do it because they did a sequel and the sequel wasn't even really good. So they even tried to kind of recapture it.
The sequel is over time, the sequels has gotten better, honestly. It still has problems. It's basically the first movie all over again. The Dana Barrett character got brought back in, Sigourney Weaver's character. I like the so there's elements I like in it. Goes to the Gozerian. I like that. There's an Oscar, the baby Oscar, the potential with that of the character that could have been, that they've done nothing with that character. Although my only I have a few gripes, and there's just a lot of gripes with it. There's also a bit more comedy than the first one it was, but It has its faults, but at least it's a consistent movie. But yeah, that, and Bill Murray has complained over and over again about, oh yeah, that movie wasn't good, whatever. Well, no offense, man. You came in it like basically being an asshole the entire time. It's like you came in with a negative attitude the entire time. You didn't want to do any jokes. You didn't want to do any of that. And so years later when you go, well, yeah, it sucked. I'm like, oh, I wonder why.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they couldn't even recapture the magic themselves with the original cast and with a sequel there. So you saw the issues with that. And of course, you know, not everybody's back because Harold Ramis has unfortunately passed away. Yeah. Not that long ago. Who played Ivan there? Who played Spangler there?
Yes.
So, you know, all of them are back. And the core kind of people were from the family of Spangler, who you have Carrie Coon, who's the daughter of Spangler. Carrie Coon here, I like Carrie Coon, but I just don't know, like, besides everyone besides Phoebe, it's like, what role do they serve as?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Like you said, like Carrie Coon is like, what role does she serve here? As
yeah, even in the first movie, I was kind of that was another problem I had is, look, the white trash kind of angle, sure, feels a little weird that, you know, considering who Harold Ramis's character is with Egon, seems a little weird that that's his daughter. This is his family. This feels really off, but. I guess it can skip again. And I guess it was the skip it generation. She didn't get any of the talent or skill that he had, the weird head in the clouds mentality.
Right.
So she was just kind of, I can understand why that would be I don't have any of that talent, but they really didn't do anything with her in that afterlife. And they've done basically nothing with her character in this one.
Yeah. Here, the kind of a lot of the story is her trying to, I guess, more of a parent, I guess.
That's more like Paul Rudd, really.
Yeah, I guess it's more Paul Rudd, you know, I guess with his character. And Paul Rudd, like you said, like even in the first one, it was kind of like, okay, Paul Rudd is kind of there, and here he's
the most, one of the most likable characters in the show, in that movie, and he's the most likable character here.
Yeah, I mean, he's still, of course, because like, hey, it's Paul Rudd. Who doesn't like Paul Rudd, right? Exactly. And yeah, I mean, it's like, again, what role does kind of he serve here? And then also Finn Wolfhard is like,
oh, they don't know what to do with that poor boy. They haven't known what to do with him since he was in Afterlife.
Yeah, like, it just, you know, I don't want to keep just going back to 1984 with that one. And, like, that one's a classic. That one's a legend and everything. But it's like, everybody had defined roles there. Like, you know, Bill Murray was more the straight man. Yeah. You know, you had
Harold. He was the sarcastic guy. Ray was the super excited, super passionate. Egon was the scientist, hardware guy, head in the clouds. And what I loved about Ernie Hudson was he was the kind of the skeptic. I'll do it if it pays me money. I'll believe whatever you say as long as I, like, he was the very down to earth, honestly, out of all of them, really.
Yeah. Most relatable, average working man.
Yeah.
Definitely the
most blue collar of them.
Yeah, you know, who just came and was like, hey, listen, I just need a job. I mean, you know, I kind of come in here. Sure, if you want me to bust some goals, I'll do that. Exactly. Sure.
And then he developed a good friendship with all of them.
Yeah. And he worked well with the kind of the team here. But in, like I say, with this, it's like, okay, what role do you each kind of serve here to this? Like, Finn Wolfhard, it's like, I don't know, maybe it's just the dialogue written for him is not that good, comedy-wise. Yeah.
It's like they all rely on Phoebe.
Yeah.
She runs everything, and then the whole premise of this movie, you can't rely on Phoebe for arbitrary reasons the whole premise is just kind of weird.
Yeah. I think that was kind of a mistake that they're not giving them more things to do. Like I said, it's so hyper-focused on Phoebe, and Phoebe's the genius, and she's, you know, kind of the one here that knows everything. It's like, it's not really spread out amongst the team of like giving them each something to do. It's like,
give Finn Wolfhard in the first movie, he was trying to work on cars and stuff. Let him be the mechanic.
True.
He knows how to work on machines. He can get old things working. He's had to, cause he's been pragmatic. Honestly, I'm going to be honest. You could have ditched both Paul Rudd and the mother character and just had left them in Oklahoma. I'm sorry. I'm for real. have Finn Wolfhard and Phoebe go to New York. They meet up with Ernie Hudson and the old Ghostbusters, and it basically, and with other adult Ghostbusters, and basically make the real life version of Ghostbusters Extreme Ghostbusters. Just make the cartoon show, the extreme version, the 90s more extreme version. Just do that.
Like they go to New York for vacation, and then that's when they run into like the Lucky character, and then they do that, and then with the other guy, who was his name? The other scientist?
Who gives a crap?
The other scientist.
I don't even care about Lucky either. She should have stayed in Oklahoma too.
You know, I don't know. Maybe if you did something like that, maybe.
Yeah, you have interesting characters. You had interesting characters in both the real Ghostbusters and the Extreme Ghostbusters. It's not like you don't have characters to utilize. Heck, a lot of people even recommended if you were going to do a third Ghostbusters, having the Ghostbusters be legitimately franchised was like the best way to go, as like a continued with that capitalism kind of thing, right? They were going with. Yeah. But there's just so many characters in here. Poor the love interest for Phoebe from the first movie gets completely ditched in this one with Logan Kim as podcast. He's just here.
Oh, I forgot that he was a little.
Yeah.
I forgot that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just kind of now he just works for Dan Aykroyd. So did everybody go to New York? So all
the people, that's what I'm saying. Everyone moved from Oklahoma to New York.
Why did I get the reason why the family might have moved there, but why the hell did
why is Lucky there? Why is Podcast there?
Yeah, that I was like, damn, everybody just was like, oh, I guess we're all going back to New York. It's like, oh, okay. Sure. I didn't think it was a good explanation for that. So you don't like any of the kind of the Lucky podcasts?
I don't hate them. I just want them to be characters. Okay. The biggest problem with this is Sony so desperately wants this to be a franchise. They want it so badly. But if you want this to be a franchise, then you have to expand beyond nostalgia. You have to expand beyond and make these characters and take the risk of having them be characters. Take the risk of going beyond just Ghostbusters and be like, go into really weird occult stuff. Go into weird science meets occult and science wins ultimately. You gotta expand your horizons on this while still maintaining Ghostbusters. You can do it. It's been done. They've done it in other properties. But this one has a lot of like just nostalgia bait in it. The only addition, one of the additions I'll praise is I thought Camille Najani's character Nadim was actually kind of funny.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think a lot of the biggest laughs I did here in the theater were when Camille Najani was on the screen.
He just has a natural cadence to him that even when he's just talking normally, you do get like just a bit of a comedic vibe. He could have just been a Ghostbuster who had weird, dumb, supernatural power that seemed useless, but then like he could use it on occasion. Like, if I do like the idea of what they went with him, but he just, there's too many characters, too much family drama, too much unnecessarity. And oh man, we haven't even gotten to the Ghost Girl yet, but that's like a third of the movie you could have cut out.
Yeah. I forgot that you mentioned that the characters, I haven't seen Afterlife since it came out.
Yeah.
So that they were kind of trying to do a romance with the Logan Kim character.
Yeah. Lucky and Finn Wolfhard. It's like, hey, they get a hug and he like, and that's it.
They dropped that, I guess, that romance too in Afterlife. I do remember that one.
They dropped the podcast one with Phoebe. They dropped the Lucky one with Finn. I mean, it's there maybe, but because they do act like they're close, but.
Yeah. And then so Phoebe, you have a ghost that shows up in this movie here, and she kind of starts forming a connection with Phoebe, and a lot of the kind of the conflict of the movie is Phoebe kind of interacting with the family of her. She's a minor and the rest are adults. I mean, Finn Wolfhard is 18,
which is reasonable.
You know what I mean? It's like, you can't be out here busting ghosts and you're fucking 15. Like, why aren't you in school? Like, why aren't you?
I literally did everything in the previous movie, and I went, yeah, and I had faults with that too.
You know, so that's the kind of one of the main conflicts there. So, you know, it leads to her lashing out against the family, against the mother, against Paul Rudd, who I can't remember what they said happened to the dad. I can't remember. They just got a divorce, right?
They got like a divorce and he doesn't want anything to do with it. There was really lazy.
Yeah. So it's like he, you know, some of the story with Paul Rudd with his arc is that, like you say, he's trying to become more of a dad, I guess, to the children. Like he's trying to, you know, be a stepdad or stepteacher.
Who wouldn't want Paul Rudd as their dad?
True. I mean, you know, Paul Rudd's a cool guy. But everybody, like everyone else, doesn't really have too many arcs in this. Because like you said, so many characters, so much going on. I mean, then you got to make time for the new characters. You also have to make time for the old characters to give them something to do. Mm-hmm. And it's not just extended cameos how it was in the other one. These are their characters in this one, and they get a lot to do here.
Especially Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson. They get a lot more of... And I actually... You know what? I liked that. I actually liked Ernie Hudson and Dan Aykroyd. And they have a whole conversation about their golden years. And I actually love that Dan Aykroyd is just going, but as Ray, he's like, but I love this. I want to keep doing this. And he's like, and Ernie's like, I love you for it. And I know you care about it, but you got to find a new way to do that or it's going to kill you.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a good conversation. And then smash cut to something else.
Yeah.
It's like, just when you start to get something.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say, so for you, were the original characters the best part of this?
Kumail Nanjiani, and the original Ghostbusters were probably the best for me, and Paul Rudd, because at least Paul Rudd's trying. His charisma alone cannot save this movie, but he's trying. He's holding it up. He's like Atlas, holding the world up.
Yeah.
And yeah, you could have gotten rid of Carrie Coon. She's completely superfluous. You could have gotten rid of Lucky. You could have gotten rid of the Egon Spengler lookalike.
Pinfield, that was his name. Pinfield.
Sure. I didn't even... Sure, whatever. You could have gotten... and as much as I like Janine, I love Janine. I love Annie Potts' Janine. You could have gotten rid of Janine.
Mm.
She doesn't really serve much purpose other than... And then there's like the Walter Peck character, and I just rolled my eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, he's mayor now? That's fucking stupid. Pardon my language. I'm sorry. I just rolled my eyes at that. And he's still being a schmuck. He's still being a dickless asshole.
Yeah.
Just
he has aged really well, I will say.
Yeah, he has. Impressively so. I was like, oh my God, that's good for you, man.
Yeah.
There's like a cameo. And there's several cameos here and there. There's a small cameo with like a librarian character that at least he made sense, whether you like the actor or not. I thought they did a solid job. The backstory of the villain is interesting. It would have fit right into real Ghostbusters. He's probably intimidating. And I like the idea. It's just how they get to him being released and how they deal with it. It's just super rushed.
Yeah. I think it does do big third act climax type stuff there that they kind of do. Especially Beam in the Sky. I was like, I thought we were done with the Beam.
I know. I was laughing so hard at that.
I thought as a culture there, I thought we moved on from the
Beam. Yeah, I thought after the Avenger, after like years after the Avengers, that peaked. That's it. We're done with the Sky Beam in the Sky.
Yeah. But the villain, like I said, I'm glad that they're doing a new villain. They're not doing the same villain again. The concept of the villain that be able to freeze everything, like you think with some of these people that he would kind of end up killing them just from
hypothermia. Yeah,
but I guess not.
There's moments where they grab objects and their hand freezes. I'm like, oh, that hand's unusable now.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, that hand would come off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And he's like, no, it's in a sling. And I'm like, no.
So I guess, I mean, you know, obviously this is PG. I guess you don't want to go too hardcore there.
In the very beginning, they were frozen, get their heads popped.
Oh, yeah, that is. They do explode.
God dang.
The demon does kill one person, the dude at the shop.
Are you the fire master? And he's like, yeah, hold on. And then like stabs him.
Yeah. He just explodes, there. The backstory of the demon is pretty interesting. I like that stuff, like them discovering the lore of the demon. Also the way they kind of animate a sequence where they're talking about the demon, like they go to Patton Oswalt, for a sequence there. He talks about this whole demon and the whole history of it. I thought that was very good. I thought that was kind of well done.
This is just new writing. I didn't appreciate. He talks about like this. I thought the very beginning was interesting because I thought we're going to get more into the Adventure Club and what they had found, and maybe they were proto Ghostbusters, or maybe they did something. It was connected to the firehouse or something. And it's like, no, nah, they're just a bunch of rich white dudes, and they fucking up everything. And I'm just like, shut up. Just shut up.
What are you talking about? Who
I remember when Patton Oswalt was just talking about it. Oh, they found this ball, and they were displaying it, and then the wax, and a bunch of rich white guys that got, like, whatever, told to kill for whatever. And I just was like, shut up. Whoever wrote that, shut up.
Oh, okay.
I'm tired of that shit.
I must have missed that one.
Take your woke bullshit and go somewhere else, please.
Yeah. So, and this was the same director. He also did. So he was the writer of
the Monster House.
Yeah, he did the Monster House, and he was the writer of Afterlife. Jason Reitman. He didn't come back. From Afterlife there.
And you feel it.
This movie's a big step down or step up from the last one. It's just kind of like, I think it's the same kind of territory here of like, it's okay, I guess.
It felt like it rebooted itself again.
Mm.
The characters kind of reset. You had that kind of an arc by the end of Afterlife, and then it's like we're right back to where we were, where they've made like a half circle. And they don't even have a full circle by the end. They're just... Yeah. Phoebe learns, hey, don't kill yourself for a friend.
Yeah. And it seemed like there was a little bit of a, I don't know, romance more going on.
Oh, yeah, Phoebe. That was clearly cut out. Yes, I'm glad they cut it out, because it would have been... underage. It would have been an underage romance. She's 15.
Right. And the ghost was 16, all right?
Yeah, sure. the actress though is like 21, 22. Okay. She did not look 16.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's like when she says that, I was like, I don't think
you mid-20s at best.
Yeah, not say she looks, I mean, she looks bad or anything, she looks old, but she clearly does not look like 15. So, like McKenna Grace, I mean, she's 17 and she looks 17, it looks a little bit, maybe could be younger than 17.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was like,
it was very clear this was a quote unquote romance that got heavily cut. Because why would you do the things that you do in this movie just for a friend or just to meet each other very briefly? Yeah. And then the things that the ghost character does, you're just like, we didn't need you. Yeah. You weren't needed really at all. You could have been completely cut out of this movie.
Yeah. So, for me, I would give it kind of a low stream it, I guess, for me. I guess if you want to have, you know, maybe kids, if you want to kind of get them, maybe they'd go, maybe they'd like it. And maybe find something for you. Like I said, do I think this is like a major step up from Afterlife? Does it get better? I don't think so. No. Nah. I think some of the better elements of this movie are maybe just from most of the original cast, and then, you know, maybe like you said, Kumail Nanjiani, who I think, when he was mostly on screen and saying things, the crowd mostly laughed and they mostly were into him and his character. Phoebe here, who McKenna Grace, I liked her character in the last movie. Here, like I said, Phoebe, it's just that they've made her, you know, such an asshole in this one.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, the crew of the Ghostbusters, we see the family element. Like, if you want to do, like, okay, this is the family unit and they're doing the Ghostbusters instead of just being a group of friends, this is like a family. It's just like you have to establish, like, at least give the family defined roles in terms of what they're here to do. Yeah. Like I said, like Carrie Coon and Paul Rudd, it's like, okay, who's the straight man? Who's the, you know, sarcastic one? Give them some good comedic stuff to do, or some good personality traits. And I don't think they do that here. And then they don't flesh that out very well. For me, I just kind of give it a low stream it there. What about for you, Dust?
Yeah. This is a low stream it. It's not a terrible movie, but it's also not a good movie either. It has a lot of problems. The parts of it that work. And when it does, when those parts work, it does feel like a Ghostbusters movie. But there's just too much of a mess, too many characters. Things that just clearly were cut out of this movie, things that were added too much to it. We don't get enough time with really focusing on the villain, and just too much family drama, stuff we had already covered in Afterlife. And because of all that, it just certain character, and they just made Phoebe such an unlikable character in this. They didn't have anyone else, what to do with anyone else in this movie. They just kind of fumbles along and stumbles until it finally crosses the finish line. Although there is one, and then the one cameo with Bill Murray, and I was honestly shocked he put the suit on at all. I was completely shocked that he bothered to do that again. But then I saw him reach for some alcohol, and I went, hey, that's a pretty good idea. If I was in the theater, I would have had some too.
Yeah.
Got myself some liquid courage. But yeah, man, this is a low stream. It. This is not worth going to the theaters. It's not a bad movie. It's not a, yeah, it's not terrible. It's just, it's a mess. And it's not worth spending all your hard earned dollary dues on this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just, I mean, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, it's just a movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
all right. I mean, it's, kinda, and it's sad that I'm just going. Eh.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like, that's a much feeling and emotion I can kind of muster for this. I mean, I guess. So yeah, so two low streamings for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I don't know if they're going to do a third one. Maybe they might.
Said they have plans to make multiple movies in the franchise.
Damn.
And I'm like, you need to get away from this, these characters then, or severely reduce them. Let them go somewhere else.
Or you, I mean, are you focused? Like you said, do more like maybe like adult, young adult, 20 something Ghostbusters there.
Yeah.
Do something like, you know, who's kind of newer, younger comedians that you can kind of bring in that can kind of probably play well off
bring
each other.
That's... Bring a Sigourney Weaver and bring Oscar back. Have him like he could talk to ghosts. He can work with them or he sees them, or some crap. Do something different. Let's go.